In the new movie, Bodies, 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 a house party goes catastrophically wrong when one of the guests turns up dead. The film mixes horror, comedy, Gen Z satire, and a whodunit-style mystery that will keep you guessing. I'm Stephen Thompson. Today, we are talking about Bodies, Bodies, Bodies on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining me today is Kristen Meinzer. She's the co-host of the podcast Movie Therapy with Rafer and Kristen. She's also the co-author of How to Be Fine. Welcome back, Kristen.
So glad to be back.
Glad to have you. Also joining us is podcast producer and film and culture critic Kate Young. Hi, Kate.
Hi, so glad to be back.
Glad to have you. Rounding out the panel is Jordan Cruciola, a writer and producer and the host of the podcast Feeling Seen on Maximum Fun. Hi, Jordan.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the occasion of getting to celebrate this film. I'm very excited.
Excellent. So glad you could all join us. So Bodies, Bodies, Bodies starts with a fairly standard horror movie premise. A group of wealthy and attractive pleasure seekers gather at a mansion where they plan to do drugs and ride out an oncoming hurricane. Along the way, they play a party game called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. It's one of those mystery games where one player is secretly the killer, but things get messy quickly when one of them actually turns up dead. From there, everything deteriorates as friendships are strained, old grievances come back to the fore, and yes, there are bodies, bodies, bodies. The film stars Amanda Stenberg and Maria Bakalova as Sophie and Bee, a young couple in the new relationship energy phase of their romance. The house they visit belongs to the family of David, who's played by Pete Davidson. Other guests include David's girlfriend Emma, played by Chase Swee Wonders, Alice, a podcaster played by Rachel Sennett, Alice's older boyfriend Greg, played by Lee Pace, and Sophie's ex Jordan, played by Myhala Harold. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies was directed by Helena Rein. She's a Dutch director making her English language film debut. It was written by Sarah Delap, based on a story by Kristen Rupenian, whom you may remember from her controversial New Yorker short story, Cat Person. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is in theaters now. Jordan Cruciola, I'm going to start with you. What did you think of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies?
I loved this movie so much. Watching it, I was transported back to the bad old days of the 2000s, you know, partaking of my celebrated mean bratty girl horror that really flourished at that time, but has since kind of like been put on the back burner a little bit. But this is a great taste of that thing that I miss about movies like Sorority Row from 2009 that I love so much, that is just so authentically cruel and therefore enjoyable because it's all rich people who are friends who hate each other. And so everybody's doing their job exactly perfectly, which allows me to love absolutely every rock that they're going to throw at each other throughout the entire thing. And I think it looks fantastic too. I felt very immersed by the way it was filmed, the way the sort of like follow steady cam and the natural light coming from just the cell phones and Rachel Sennett's glowing party paraphernalia that she has on her body. This is the year of A24 doing fun stuff, and I could not be more thankful.
Thank you, Jordan. Kate Young, what did you think of the movie?
I really enjoyed it. You know, I sat in the back row with a bunch of other people that I don't know and got really into it, honestly. I really have to agree with Jordan on the appeal of like cruelty to me. I think I've always really liked like a really mean girl.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I just love that archetype. And there's a lot of them in this film. And it's delicious to me because I think what really made this work is that they're not just mean, but they're also smart and they're informed. So their barbs are much more deliberate. They're much more precise. And they are the kinds of things that you can only say or do to a person when you've known them for a really long time and you know all of their little buttons to push. I really enjoyed this. I thought the music was great. The vibe was great. Like before obviously people start dropping like flies, I was like, this is a party that I would enjoy. I was having a blast. I was very into Lee Pace's like creepy older dude thing. I personally have never been like super partial to Lee Pace, but I know that he's like one of the internet's boyfriends. And I have to say, I was quite impressed by, like, how creepy he managed to be. Like, there is a point in the film where he comes under suspicion. And I'm like, yeah, I would suspect him, too. He's kind of weird. Why is he here? And it's really enjoyable. I think that the motivations of the characters all make sense. But I also really enjoy the general sensibility of the film. I think, you know, this is getting touted as like a Gen Z horror and like maybe we figured that out. But I really felt that this was incredibly millennial, and perhaps that's just me trying to be young again.
No,
but
same.
I really related to it and I thought it felt perfect. Like there's a point at which one of the characters says to another that her girlfriend is a psycho. And the character replies, "Don't say psycho, it's ableist." And I was like, yes, I love this. This is not the time or place. Of course he would say that. And I think coming down to the twist ending specifically, like that really hooked it in for me, because I feel like it's the exact kind of nonsense that you would expect a bunch of idle rich kids to get into. And it was perfect. I had a blast.
Nice. All right, Kristen Meinzer, what'd you think?
Well,
be honest, Kristen.
I am going to be honest. First of all, Kate, I don't know why you would want to go to a party with these terrible, terrible people. They are the reason why people on cocaine suck. Everything about this movie just reinforces that rich, bored people suck. Rich, bored people on cocaine suck even more. I wanted this movie to be funnier and or scarier, ideally both. It was neither. I was sitting through an irritating party that I didn't want to be at. And I just hated everybody. There are two points I remember laughing, and I won't say those two lines out loud because I feel like I will ruin the only two funny moments for all of the people listening, because there are only two funny lines. And there's only one scary moment in the entire movie, and I won't say it because I'll ruin that too. This is a bad, 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 bad movie.
Wow.
And not good bad, just bad bad.
That is a perfect response, honestly. I think the things that just made this an arrow straight to your soul are exactly what put it on the wings of eagles for me. The fact that you hated all of them so much, I love that reaction. Because the thing is, you hated them as much as they hate each other. And this movie is actually like, I'm watching this and I'm like, drag me, be my desperate podcaster representation, Rachel Sennett. And I think you're right, Kate. I think there was something also distinctly millennial about this movie that just felt like it was a little present handed to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny to me, Kristen, that you're like, these that sound like terrible people and I never want to be around them. I'm like, that's exactly the appeal to me. Like, of course they're terrible. I want to watch them be terrible to each other. I am well known as like an incurable gossip. Like, I enjoy watching other people deal with their lives. Yes, precisely. And I'm like, Jordan's exactly right. Like, I'm just going to be sitting in the corner, stirring my tea, eat my popcorn, and like having a blast, because like other people's drama is always delightful and they have a lot of drama.
As I said, they're not funny enough. They're not scary enough. They're not biting enough. They're not vicious enough. They're irritating. Irritating isn't fun. They're just irritating.
Steven, where are you at on this one?
I'm mostly on team Jordan and Kate. I did really enjoy this movie. I do think there's an interesting needle to thread for movies like this, where you assemble a group of, you know, hedonists, a group of friends, a group of whatever, where they are going to get murdered. I often find myself sitting at the beginning of these movies like, don't get too attached. I find myself getting attached to fictional characters, to the people on my screens. If I enjoy hanging out with them, I'm bracing myself like I don't want anything bad to happen to them. And it's a horror movie, so of course you're going to watch a bunch of people get slaughtered. So to me, you have to make them entertaining enough to want to watch them, but you don't want to get so attached to them that you're sad when they're slaughtered. For me, this film met that brief.
I think you will deeply disagree, perhaps, Kristen, or maybe you'll be like, actually, in a sick way, I agree with you. I think this is one of the great ensembles of this year. I think this is such an unexpected group of names together, and I think the chemistry really sings. I think this is the best thing Amanda Stenberg has been able to do. Mm-hmm. This movie opens with them openly queer, like openly, forcefully queer in a way that's not just going to be a thing we see at the beginning and then it's never going to come up again. It's a present part throughout the entire rest of the film, but I'm enjoying seeing this more just like unspoken reality of dynamic sexualities and personalities on screen. And I think for Amandla specifically, this is the first time I've seen them get to play a role this divisive. Mm-hmm. And Maria Bakalova is a really interesting screen presence that I think continues to have more range at every turn. Chase Swee Wonders and Myhala Harold are just perfectly placed. And Rachel Sennett is a star. You can't teach what she has. She just has it. And she's having a great time being famous. And I love that for her and for us because we get to watch.
I agree with you. I also think this movie is a pretty ingenious use of Pete Davidson, mm-hmm. who has a very specific and fairly narrow skill set that I think this film is able to tap into the Pete Davidson-iness. Mm-hmm. Kristen, I know you didn't find these characters likable, but I did think this was extraordinarily well cast. And, you know, if we want to play the tag yourself game, the guy who's too old for the party he's at, I feel like I'm at that party right now.
I will agree with you. I did think Pete Davidson was well cast in this. And I feel like he got to do the best thing that Pete Davidson could do, which was be Pete Davidson times 11. He was great at that. I just wish everybody else would have turned it up to 11. I feel like everybody else was sitting at 5. Turn it up like Pete Davidson.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely heard agree on Pete. I think when he announced that he was leaving SNL, I was a little confused because I agree that I think his range is pretty limited. But I think in this film, he does, in fact, manage to kind of be Pete Davidson, but a more turned up and fictionalized version where it's like slightly left of his actual persona, but in a way that he's able to kind of like cross the streams a bit and access his real self. I was pleasantly surprised by the chemistry that he has on screen with Amanda Stenberg. I thought that them together actually felt like real friends. Like, I believed their history, which kind of blew my mind because, like, they are not two people that I would ever think to put in a movie together. I believed his character. I believed his viciousness when that comes out. I believed his, like, weird machismo thing that he had going on with Lee Pace. Like, I believed that character would have all of the same tics and frustrations that he did, and I think he played them very well. And now I'm kind of impressed. I'm looking forward to see what he does next.
Well, and I was delighted to see Maria Bakalova, who I did not expect to love in the Borat sequel.
Right. Took us all by storm, really.
She's excellent in that. She really is.
Yeah. And so, like, it's great to have her kind of come back and be in a very, very different part, playing a very, very different kind of character. I'm officially now excited to see her in whatever I see her in.
I don't feel like she was given enough to do here. And I know I sound like I'm beating a dead horse here, but I just wanted everything to be more.
On that point, I will agree with you, actually. I confess I did not see the new Borat films. I tried. I couldn't get through it. But I don't have any context for Maria's previous performances, obviously. And I have to say I wasn't particularly impressed. I don't know if it was just the writing for the character or what, but I felt she came across as much too timid. She barely has any lines that I can recall. I mean, part of it is also that she's coming into this group as an outsider, so that's part of the dynamic that we're seeing on screen. She felt like so much of a wallflower that I was kind of confused as to why we needed that character. I think in another film, she would have served as, like, the audience surrogate, but she doesn't do enough to actually fill that role. And because there's so much confusion happening in the house, like, everyone kind of gets to be the point of view character at some point, and I felt like we didn't really get very much from her in particular. If we're going to introduce this character into this dynamic, into this, like, extremely poisonous dynamic of these friends,
yeah.
I wanted more of, like, a plot-forward reason for her to be there. And I felt like there just wasn't.
You need an enigma in that group, though. If everybody's motivations are too clear, it can become predictable. And I think you need to have a couple of characters who do keep people guessing, where you can't necessarily telegraph their motivations all the way through. So I liked the kind of unknowability of that character.
I think you can be a mystery and still be interesting, though. And she's not.
I think given that she makes a few critical choices and takes a few critical actions in this movie that stand in such contrast with the rest of the character that we are presented with, the way she played what she had tripled down on the sort of confusion and whodunit-ness of what was going on throughout the entire rest of the movie. She never really rises to the level of viciousness to those around her. And at a certain point, you have to wonder, like, why? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if this is turning into a lion's den, why are you still content to be the lamb in the corner? Like, what's your deal here, man? And that worked very well for me.
All right. Well, I think it's safe to say But three out of the four of us really liked this movie. We want to know what you think about Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. Up next, what is making us happy this week? Now it's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week, what is making us happy this week. Jordan Cruciola, I'm going to start with you. What is making you happy this week?
What's making me happy this week is being able to look forward to the release of Pearl.
Mm.
But I am being made happy this week by the featuring of Mia Goth, the pushing forward of Mia Goth as a movie star, the understanding of Mia Goth as a great leading woman screen talent in this little 1-2 punch we're getting this year of X and Pearl.
Yeah, so this is a prequel to X?
Yeah. So now we get the prequel origin story of the elderly woman character from X getting to see how she becomes the woman that you see in that movie. And more Mia Goth all the time in more places doing more things is a mantra that I would like to live by. That is Pearl coming out on September 16th.
Well, thank you, Jordan Cruciola. Kate Young, what is making you happy this week?
This week, two things are making me happy. The first is a movie on Amazon Prime, or I guess it's called Prime Video, that I just loved. It's called The Voyeurs, but it is honestly like possibly the best thing that I've seen this year. A young couple move into a beautiful new apartment and discover that they can see the very voracious sex lives of their across the street neighbors through their wonderful windows. They become a tiny bit obsessed with watching them, and consequences ensue, is what I will say.
It's an erotic thriller, ladies and gentlemen.
It's so great. And the second thing that's making me happy is the show that I produce for Wondery called Even the Rich. We started airing our new season called Will Smith, Fresh Prince to Fallen King. We really take a look at Will's life growing up. We also do an episode that will be airing next week from Jada's perspective to kind of round out the life that they lived and the kind of psychology of Will Smith, as one would say. I think that, you know, if you're listening to this show, then you're pop culture fans. You're probably going to like our show too.
Great. So the name of that podcast is Only the Rich, and your first recommendation was The Voyeurs on Amazon. Kate Young, thank you so much. Kristen Meinzer, what's making you happy this week?
I also have two things making me happy this week. The first is a very highbrow, very intricate TV show on HBO Max called F-Boy Island Season 2. Now, F-Boy Island Season 2, just like Season 1, the women have to decide which of these men are nice guys and which ones are F-boys. Who do I want to be with? And if I choose the right one, will I win the $100,000? Or will the guy I choose keep the $100,000 because he's an F-boy? It's so funny. It's exactly all the terrible things that other reality dating shows are, but even better because it has a sense of humor.
Wow.
That is F-Boy Island Season 2 on HBO Max. And you do not have to see Season 1 to follow or understand.
To follow the intricacies.
And the second thing making me happy this week is the new show that I'm hosting with my friend Joe Lenta. It is called Romance Road Test. And it is kind of a reality show podcast only on Audible. And on the show, she and I choose a different relationship hack each episode and try to apply it to our marriages.
Wow.
So, for example, in one episode, we try to reenact our first dates with our husbands. In another episode, we assemble flat pack furniture to see if it brings us closer or makes us want to kill each other. So that's called Romance Road Test on Audible. And again, the first recommendation of what's making me happy is called F-Boy Island Season 2 on HBO Max.
Nice. All right. Well, what is making me happy this week? It is Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls.
Yes.
When this show dropped on Amazon Prime back in March, I discounted it. I thought it was one of those quasi-documentary promo reels that have been floating around so much. So I just thought, like, oh, I love Lizzo, but I don't need to watch that. Then it was nominated for 6 Emmys in the category of reality competition. And I went, did I miss that Lizzo is hosting a RuPaul's Drag Race style reality competition to find backup dancers? I had somehow missed that. This show, which I have already watched twice in its entirety in the last 2 weeks, is fabulous, life-affirming, wonderful, body positive, body as hell. full of swears. And
it is bodies, bodies, bodies.
It is bodies, bodies, bodies positive. Not for nothing, this thing upends so many reality competition tropes, where you realize this is not a traditional elimination-based reality show where you get attached to people, but then your heart is broken, or everybody's terrible and you just want them to eliminate everybody. And so the kind of typical reality show style misbehavior is discouraged. And that's Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls, which is streaming now on Prime Video. I should mention that both that show and The Voyeurs are on Amazon, which is among NPR's financial supporters and also distributes NPR content. That is what is making me happy this week. If you want links for what we recommended, plus some more recommendations, sign up for our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. That brings us to the end of our show. Jordan Cruciola, Kristen Meinzer, Kate Young, thanks to all of you for being
here.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
This episode was produced by Ramel Wood and Hafsa Fatima and edited by Mike Katzef. Hello, Come In provides our theme music. Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all next week.